I don't know whether you've seen the T-shirt or the meme on social media with a slogan that says, if it weren't for Hermione, Harry would have died in book one. For those of you who don't know, Harry is Harry Potter, the wizard hero of a few relatively small novels by J.K. Rowling. And Hermione is sort of one of his best friends. And for those of you who read the book or seen the films, Hermione saves Harry quite often. But certainly in the first book, she solves a puzzle and saves him. So Harry may be the hero throughout the whole of the books, but his existence was dependent on someone else, as it so often is. And it's the same really in our story from Exodus this morning. Moses becomes a great hero, of us all. But if it weren't actually for three women, he would have died in chapter 2 of Exodus, and the Bible might have been a little bit smaller than it is today. So whatever else Mothering Sunday or today means for us, whether it's a joyous thing or a sort of mix of emotions, let us try and remember the hidden heroes that kind of support us all. And in many respects, especially today, the women on whose shoulders we all stand tall. Mothering Sunday actually was one of those things that we've kind of inherited from America. At the end of the 19th century in West Virginia, a woman named Anne Jarvis said in her daughter's hearing, "I hope and pray that someone sometime will found a memorial Mother's Day, commemorating her for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. She is entitled to it." Now, Anne died in 1908, but her daughter, Anna, held a memorial service on the 10th of May and worked on it. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson declared the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day in America. The idea spread, and in Britain it became what's now known as the fourth Sunday in Lent, became our Mothering Sunday. But interestingly and sadly, by the time that Anna Jarvis had died, the idea of celebrating women's service to humanity had become a day on which to turn a profit. Indeed, before she died, Anna renamed it Hallmark Sunday, after the well-known card maker. The purpose had become completely missed, and in many respects, maybe it still has. Certainly in Waitrose yesterday, you had to fight your way through the entrance where everyone was gathered around the flower counter. And it's remarkable, it was sort of, and this is very stereotypical, I know. It's men with children buying flowers. I wasn't one of them. That sounds bad though, doesn't it? But yeah, okay. I'll rewind that. Don't record that bit. He already has. But maybe this morning, digressing, our reading from Exodus and kind of unpacking that can maybe help us to repurpose really what today is around, because this story, which again is one that we all know very well, fundamentally revolves around three women: Moses's mother, his sister, and Pharaoh's daughter. And really they're very quite brave decisions that they each of them make lead ultimately to the salvation of the Hebrew nation from slavery in Egypt. Those of you who have children, who have been around babies and children, either currently or back, you know, imagine for a moment or take yourselves back to what it was like to be around a baby, that precious little thing. At the time our story takes place, Moses is about 3 months old, and his family have kept him hidden until this point. Just reflect on that, trying to hide a baby. Now, as we understand, they were an oppressed people. And oppressed peoples tend to live in homes that are very close and squashed together. They were likely really slaves. And so they would have lived in very simple homes, probably separated by their neighbors by very little than maybe a reed wall. Can you imagine what it was like trying to hide a baby, even just for 3 months, next to basically what is a garden fence? Knowing that if it is discovered, that there's only one route of that's going to happen. So Moses' mother and sister, who already are, you know, pretty brave characters, because you kind of can imagine, I mean, what would have happened if they were discovered to have been hiding a male baby at that time. They basically, they've hatched a plan. And clearly they've heard good things about Pharaoh's daughter. Maybe she's already done secret acts of kindness for her father's slaves. Clearly, though, this wasn't just a chance thing. There must have been some motivation around what they were doing. They must have felt that there was a good chance, at least probably better than 50-50, that Moses was going to survive this. And so they hide Moses in a basket, in a place where they think the princess will find him. And of course she does. Again, such a brave thing. And again, in a sense, Moses' sister is hiding, is watching, is seeing. Again, probably slightly dangerous thing. But Pharaoh's daughter is not fooled. She can see what's going on here. She knows this is a Hebrew baby, a boy, and one that her father has ordered to be killed. And yet, in that moment, she has compassion and she takes him into her home. And then Moses' sister steps out and conveniently offers to go and find a nurse. I mean, again, Pharaoh's daughter is not likely to be sort of, I mean, come on, it's like, oh, here's a baby, I'll go and find someone to look after it for you. Oh, look, here's someone to look after it. Oh, no, you all look quite similar, don't you? I mean, there's a family resemblance here. So Moses' sister and mother, they step out. They take that risk to save this baby. The easy thing would have been just to kind of done the grim thing and just let sort of what Pharaoh wanted to happen, happen. But they stepped out and they took a risk. And Pharaoh's daughter herself must have taken quite a risk. She effectively is standing against her father. She's effectively going against the grain. She's doing something that could have created all kinds of levels of problems for her. But she's done that. And she takes this toddler in to her home and she pays Moses' mother to look after him. And then the rest of it, as we know, is kind of history. Moses grows up in that dual relationship between being a Hebrew, but also being an Egyptian, giving him a kind of unique opportunity to negotiate, in a sense, the release of the Hebrew people from slavery in the end, and to guide them through to salvation. None of that would have happened if it wasn't for those three women. And I wonder in our own lives as we sit here, how many of those kind of similar, although clearly less dramatic instances, or maybe so, I don't know, of where people have done quite simple, small, but brave things that have affected the way of our lives moving forward. This week just gone, I took a funeral of a teacher. Funnily enough, it was my reception teacher, which is kind of a little bit scary. She did actually remember me, which equally is a little scary. Although I don't know. But again, funerals are one of those joyous things, but it was a joyous thing because we could remember the impact that this lady had had on numerous people's lives. And you know, I reflected on the fact that as a reception teacher, I can vaguely remember that, you know, she led me to sit at the table and made sure that there were people around me on that first day, and that I had what I needed. I was comfortable, and the environment was correct for me to learn and to develop as a person, which is one of those special things that teachers do. And not just teachers, but parents and grandparents and uncle and all of those sorts of things. And it was a lovely to reflect on how someone had given their life for other people. And it's the same that we hear today with mothers, with women, with men who look after children, nurture people, and everything. And so today, I think, as we reflect on that early Exodus story, we can just hold in that moment of those little things that become and make us all heroes. Amen.